In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's thank Deacon Gary for that really cheery gospel reading this morning. What a joy to be among you this morning. In fact, I was made to feel right at home at the 8 o'clock service. We processed into the church. I said the opening acclamation, and a train went through. So I know somebody scheduled that just for me. But it is a wonderful joy to be with you today and to be with Deacon Gary, Father Steve, Father Brian. And I was thinking, this motley crew, including myself, represents 45 years of leadership here at Holy Innocence. So let's give thanks. So believe it or not, 2 weeks from today, we'll begin the season of Advent, this time of anticipation that we heard about in our children's lesson. And of course, the season of Advent begins an entirely new liturgical year, which means that during the month of November, while everyone else is drinking their pumpkin spice lattes and buying their Thanksgiving turkeys and getting ready for the holiday shopping season, we in the church hear Bible readings like we heard this morning that are all about the climactic and cataclysmic end of all things, the end of the world, the destruction of what we see and know. Makes you want to come to church, right? But it's helpful in the sense that it reminds us that at the beginning of the liturgical year, we look forward to remembering the first advent, the first coming of Christ. But at the end of the liturgical year, we look forward to this second advent, this second coming of Christ. And of course, theologians and scholars debate what exactly that means. There's lots of different ways to understand that. But it doesn't change the fact that every single Sunday in the Nicene Creed, we reaffirm our belief that Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And it reminds us that you and I are living in what scholars often call the in-between times. Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose from the dead, but there is more to come. There's a consummation, there is a fullness. We heard it in the reading from Isaiah, this new creation that God has promised us that is not yet. And so we live in-between times. And what Jesus is doing in some of these very difficult gospel passages is he's teaching his disciples what it means to live in these in-between times. And how do we walk by faith in confidence and boldness in the midst of in-between times? And I think what he is saying this morning in very basic terms is that these in-between times will be both times of challenge and times of opportunity. Times of challenge and times of opportunity. So I think to begin with, and what is most obvious, is the challenge, right? We heard about it, we see it in our world every single day. If we go back to the time of Jesus, we know that those first followers were in a world where they were still under Roman occupation. They faced the threat of persecution. They faced economic uncertainty. They were even imprisoned just because they were followers of Jesus. It was a time of incredible volatility and change. And during that first century moment, there was an event that became kind of a symbol, a metaphor that encapsulated this dramatic change and upheaval that those first followers of Jesus experienced. And it was the destruction of the temple in the year 70 AD. And so at the beginning of our gospel reading, we find the disciples and the crowd gathered with Jesus in the temple. They're pointing to the beauty and grandeur of this magnificent structure. that has been part of the Jewish life and worship and tradition for well over 1,000 years. It has been destroyed and rebuilt, and at the time of Jesus, it was literally a wonder of the world. Stable, strong, predictable, immovable. No one could have imagined a day when that temple would not be there. To put this in perspective, I brought a couple pictures of my pilgrimage that I took to Israel a few years ago. And the first picture shows me standing in front of one of these stones that the disciples and Jesus would have been pointing to. And that's yours truly, standing in front of the stone. And I'm over 6 feet tall, which gives you a sense of the enormity of just a single stone at the foundation of the temple. Now, the walls were 900 feet wide, 150 feet tall. Thousands of massive stones. But after this picture was taken, we walked around the corner and saw what remains of the temple that Jesus would have walked in during his day. There's a few of those stones still intact from the previous picture, but most of what you see is this. Because the Roman army came in with first century earth movers, went to the top of the temple, and literally pushed stone after stone after stone from the top down. What was secure, stable, immovable, was gone. If we fast forward to our own day, I don't think it's hard for any of us to extrapolate from the experiences of those first followers of Jesus to find analogies in our own context in terms of volatility, uncertainty, change, things that we thought for a long time were stable, immovable, that now we wonder if they're going to be there tomorrow or the next day or the next year. For 2,000 years of church history, the followers of Jesus have been a group that have encountered obstacles and challenges. So that's the downer part of the gospel. The good news, and I hope you heard it when Jesus said, "This will give you opportunity to testify." What is the this? The challenges. The obstacles, the hard things will give you opportunity to testify, to bear witness, to show forth in your life what you profess with your faith. My friends, I believe the world is hungry and longing for the church of God, the followers of Jesus, to be that kind of witness, to testify to the vision of new creation, the vision of a world made right. And I want to be clear what the content of our testimony is. Notice that in all four Gospels, Jesus never pulls out a 40-page catechism and says to his disciples, "I want you to memorize this and then go teach it to everybody." Nor does he say, "Here's a list of social, political, and ideological issues I want you to all agree upon and then go out and teach the world." Instead, what Jesus did was he told them stories. He told them parables about what the kingdom of God looks like in real life. He told them a story about a Samaritan who showed generosity and compassion to his enemy. He told him a story about a father who welcomed his son home, even though that son had gone to a faraway country and squandered his inheritance. He told him a story about a widow who kept knocking on the door of the unjust judge until she received mercy. Each of those stories, each of those examples is a window into God's new creation, into the kingdom of God, the vision that God has for the world. And our job as witnesses is to point people to that reality, to say, you may see challenges and obstacles and injustice and pain and suffering, but God has another plan. And one day, the fullness of that plan and purpose will be realized. Our job is to be witnesses. Now, I have a little bit more bad news this morning. The bad news is we're not doing a very good job. In fact, earlier this year, there was a survey conducted by the Episcopal Church called Jesus in America. It was a simple survey that just wanted to get a sense of what people were thinking, their perceptions around Jesus, his followers, and the world. In that survey, 84% of the people who were questioned said that Jesus is a person of spiritual importance and significance. That's pretty good. 84% across demographics. Christians, non-Christians, atheists, agnostics, adherents to other faith traditions. It didn't matter. 84% thought Jesus is pretty good. But when they asked non-Christians to describe Christians, 32% described us as arrogant. 46% described us as self-righteous. 49% described us as judgmental. And 50%, a full half of those surveyed, described followers of Jesus as hypocritical. So we have a gap. People like Jesus. They're not so sure about us. What's really remarkable is that when Christians were asked to describe themselves, we gave ourselves pretty high marks. We described ourselves as generous, loving, welcoming. But it doesn't very much matter what we think about ourselves, because this is about our witness, our testimony, what we are saying and showing to the world. And what Jesus tells us in this morning's gospel reading is that in the midst of the challenges, in the midst of these in-between times, there are opportunities to testify through your life and through mine. And so in just a few moments, as we join with these folks who are confirming their faith, being received into this church, reaffirming their commitment to Christ, all of us as a community will renew our baptismal covenant. And as we renew those promises that many of us have said numerous times, I want you this morning to really listen to what you are saying yes to. Because it's about your witness. It's not really about what we do inside this building. The questions that you're going to answer are about what you do outside this building when you go through those doors as a witness, as an ambassador for Christ. And if we could live that kind of vision, I know that it will transform our lives. But I also believe it can transform the world, which also should sound familiar to you all. Amen.